Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody. TGIF. Nick Ferguson in for Stink, who is in Palace Hall right now in Chicago, getting ready to interview members of the Chicago Bears. He'll be calling Bears Cardinals this week on Fox. So Nick has been nice enough to come on in and fill in during the course of the show. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, where, of course, we give you a chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest heading off into the weekend. It could be about anything, all the local teams, the national sports scene, even stuff outside the world of sports. Just give it to us on the RebelSlot.com text line, 303-713-1043, in the form of, is it just me? You got a couple?
Yes. Is it just me, or is it this idea of MLB lockout kind of ridiculous? Because how is it that you know that, hey, the CBA is going to expire, that we can't come to some formal agreement to make sure that, you know, there is no threat of a lockout? Because baseball, just like other sports, they've been in this situation before. But it just seemed like baseball always gets it wrong. I mean, I remember a time watching, you know, baseball. There was somewhat of a lockout. And then we had that Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire kind of home run race that kind of saved baseball. But I think fans are sick and tired of their sport that they love so much being put on some kind of hiatus because the players union, the players and the owners can't come to a formal agreement.
Well, the thing about baseball that always amuses me, it's like these lockouts, the owners use these lockouts to protect themselves against themselves.
Right.
So you just had a week in which hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts were given out. But now the owners are saying, well, we're forced to do this because the players have put us in a defensive position because they will not meet us and agree with us and deal with us when it comes to fixing the inequities of the game. Inequities of the game, everybody understands the haves and the have-nots in baseball. There is not a sport that has more of a separation between the haves and the have-nots, between a team like the Yankees that will spend or the Dodgers that will spend $250 million and a team like the Pirates that will spend less money per year on their entire payroll than Max Scherzer is making in 1 year. That's the discrepancy. But because the owners themselves can't get on the same page, they're like, well, we got to lock out the players.
That just seems like just lunacy within itself. And then when you look at baseball, every other sport has done a great job of marketing their top baseball talents, even some of their young guys, the up-and-comers. But it just seems like baseball is still falling behind the curve. And it's like, how is it that they have not figured this out? Rob Manfred. I mean, Mike Trout, one of the best players, and we can't find a way to utilize his skill set and his marketability. How can we not do that?
They've gotten better, but you're right. It's a sport that there's too many strikeouts. It's a boom or bust home run or strikeout league. The ball is not in play enough. And let's face it, the games are too long, and it's a sport that is really losing the younger fan and the future fan. The younger fan is not drawn to baseball. Games are too long. Games are too boring. Games are too slow. Hey, baseball's never going to lose me. They got me. Okay?
You're hooked.
I'm hooked. Decades of being a baseball fan. They're not going to lose me. But I'm not the future of the game. You know, my son is. My son, your son. Yes. They're both 14. They're the future. And if they're not figuring out how to make this game interesting for them, forget about us. They got us, but it's for those guys. That's what they got to worry about. And all right, we'll see. It's a lockout in December. Who cares? right? Doesn't matter until they start getting to spring training. If it's still lasting in spring training, if it's still lasting come April, then we got a real issue. Let's see. Let's get to some more here. Is it just me or Mike is so used to being bullied when Mark is here, he has to take it out on you, Nick, when you guest host? Mark bullies me? Mark bullies me. Benny, you must have something to play in reaction to the idea that Mark bullies me. You know how many times I put Mark on his heels? Yeah. How many times have you folks listened to this show when Mark starts getting that really high-pitched, defensive, talking real fast
tone sound to his voice?
He's like, what do you mean? I just said Trevor's to me. It's like,
I want to be a real boy.
Oh, all right. Let's get into it. You asked me why I or if I'm confident the Broncos can win on Sunday. A nice way to lead into that. Time now for our keys to the game presented by Nova Home Loans. What would you lay out as two or three of the most important keys to victory on Sunday?
One, it's going to be third down efficiency. The one way to keep Patrick Mahomes from scoring is to keep him on the sideline as a spectator. And we know over the season, the Broncos haven't excelled as far as getting out of the gate fast and actually converting on third down. I mean, what's wild is that they're better at converting on fourth downs than they are at converting on third down.
Why do you think they've been bad on third down? Got all this offensive talent.
To me, it's a combination of execution and play calling. Like, in the Chargers game, they had somewhat of a toss sweep call. I mean, it could have ended up being a touchdown inside the low red zone, but because Calvin Anderson didn't get around in time to get the safety, then that it ended up in a loss of yards for Javonte Williams. So it's execution. Because think about how many times the Broncos this past season have been in the red zone knocking on the door, but then there's a false start, there's a holding, something takes them out of scoring position, then they have to kick a field goal. So if they didn't commit those penalties, the outcome would have been different in a lot of games, and we would have seen the average score per game a lot higher than it's been thus far.
Give me a key on defense.
Well, the key on defense is getting after Patrick Mahomes. When the Chiefs were going through their struggles early in the season, Mahomes was still doing his improvisation of Brett Favre, as though I like to call it, you know, throwing from all the different arm angles, running to the left, throwing to the right. And in years past, those were completions. They ended up not being completions because pressure was there. Guys were playing in their spots defensively to put pressure on Patrick Mahomes to be perfect. And we know not every quarterback is perfect, neither is Patrick Mahomes. So it's going to be a combination of pressure. And I'll say this, Mike. Here's what I think if I'm Vic Fangio. I know you have Malik Reed and Bradley Chubb came back last week. I'm going to put Stephen Weatherly and Jonathan Cooper out there because those guys come with a lot of energy and a lot of juice, and that's what you're going to need on Sunday.
All right, those are your keys to the game presented by Nova Home Loans. It's an Is It Just Me Friday. Get to some of those coming up. And also, whether you like them or not, you got to face it head on. Why the Broncos have lost 11 straight to the Chiefs. Loss number 9, the Lowlights. The gory details. Coming up next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, this is a fair text. Nick Ferguson sitting in for Stank, who's in Chicago preparing to talk to the Bears personnel this morning. He'll call Bears Cardinals on Sunday. So we've been playing these vignettes of the 11 losses in a row. And this texter says, is it just me, but could you balance replays of the losses with replays of the wins? A little positivity would go a long way.
How about new?
See, I think it's how you look at these vignettes. Well, here's the latest one. Here's loss number 9. Okay, this will give us a good build up. Here we go.
December 15th, 2018.
Oh, the weather
outside is frightful.
A snowstorm greeted the Broncos at Arrowhead as Kansas City native Drew Lock made his first start in his hometown.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
The Broncos quarterback won 4 of 5 starts his rookie season, but it shouldn't come as a shock the lone loss would come against the Chiefs.
Lock trying to set it up, puts it upstairs, and now it's intercepted.
Let it snow.
The snow didn't slow down Patrick Mahomes, who amassed nearly 350 yards and 2 touchdowns in whiteout conditions.
Mahomes weaves out of trouble, sidesteps, throws, and gets the conversion to Watkins. Time for more snow angels.
With the Broncos losing streak to the Chiefs now at 9, the only hope in the Mile High City was their young quarterback. Lock would learn from the loss and develop to finally give Mahomes a formidable foe. Unfortunately, that would also be for naught. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead, this Sunday.
Now, first of all, I think these vignettes, as we call them in the biz, have been wonderfully done. I think they were well-produced, well-written. Different themes were captured with the music and the words. So, first of all, I think they were put together really well. I guess I choose to look at it differently, Nick. I'm not looking at this as, hey, we're just here to just, you know, beat down Bronco fan with negativity, negativity, negativity. I think it's just a matter of facing up to what's real. And what's real is that the Broncos have lost 11 straight. That the team that you have to go through in your own division has beaten you 11 straight times by an average score of 29-16. And as a fan base, we want this fixed, right? We want that gap to be closed, and we want it to eventually disappear, and we want it to start swinging back the other way. So as you get ready for a game like this on Sunday, I think the exercise of what we've been doing this week is to sort of encapsulize and just kind of crystallize what has happened over these last 11 games to try to help find an explanation why, so we can fix it.
Well, here's the one thing about it, speaking to the tune of fandom, because I am a football fan myself. When your team faces a particular opponent and you have not performed well against them, you don't want it tossed in your face. Like, I grew up in Miami, so there are a lot of games, you know, the Dolphins played the Buffalo Bills, and the Buffalo Bills always had the Dolphins' number. And I knew it. We all knew it. But it was just the fact of being tossed in your face, you really didn't like it. But here's another way to look at it. We're pointing out the 11 losses. And like Ben said, it's been with different quarterbacks. I'm thinking with the production value, it's spot on. You're absolutely right. It's great. But it's like the Jedi mind trick in a way.
Ah, right? I love how you bring it back to Star Wars.
It's the Jedi mind trick. We want to put it on your mind, and we hope that the Broncos listen. Their brass listen, because we know they do. So we want them to tell them, see, no one's giving us a chance to go into Kansas City on Sunday and win a football game. So now it trickles down to the players who are frustrated because they know it's been 11 tries and they still beat you. So they go out with extra momentum. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give extra momentum and inspire the Broncos to do something that they haven't done in 11 tries.
Yeah, as I've been listening to these all week, I honestly haven't, my reaction has not been one of, oh, woe is me. Oh, we stink. Oh, we're never going to be able to beat them. I haven't had the Eeyore reaction. I don't know if folks listening, if you have, my reaction's been more like, quite frankly, this is pissing me off. That's enough. You know, as you listen to these recaps of the 11 losses, it just is a stark reminder of how poorly run this team has been over the last 6 years.
This is really my fault.
Well, okay. Own it. But that's why the gap is where the gap is. And to hear it play out quarterback after quarterback, different quarterback after different quarterback, different big play after big play, different
big mistake after big. It irritates me. It angers me. And it makes me want to demand accountability. It makes me want to demand change. So I'm not taking a hangdog approach to all of this, what I've been hearing the last week. It's more like, enough's enough. Fix it.
Well, in the only Star Wars fashion I can give you, it's like Kansas City is the Death Star, right? And we're looking for, you know, our Luke Skywalker and our Han Solo to help blow up the Death Star. So can Vic Fangio play, you know, Han Solo, and can Pat Shermer be our Luke Skywalker? We don't know, because Andy Reid and the Chiefs are the deadly empire that has been a bane in our existence for so long.
So do you have the blueprints of Arrowhead? Is there a weak spot? Is there that little shaft that you can fly over and drop the, I don't know, what are they, photon bombs down there? I don't know. Pew, 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 pew. I don't know what those were, but is there a weakness in the Kansas City Chiefs? Where is that weakness?
Well, the blueprint
and
was...
And we get Blue Squadron 5 to clear the road. Oh, no, that's... I'm confusing my Star Wars with Independence Day. Sorry.
Yes, you are. Yes, the blueprint...
How dare you?
It has been put out there. It's been put out there by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers about the way that you're able to do it. And the linebackers have changed over the past couple of weeks. There's no Josie Jewell. There's no Alexander Johnson. There's, Kenny Young and Baron Browning, who have collectively played well together. So those guys may be, you know, our last hope of being able to get this done. But being able, like I said, when we talked about the keys to the game, being able to apply pressure to Patrick Mahomes and force him into some errant throws, that's a strong possibility.
Texter, last time Evans heard enough is enough from the buffet manager.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah. I've never been told to stop it, but I have gotten some nervous glances from the manager of the buffet before.
Is it the shrimp cocktail that always gets you?
That I come back yet again, and they're like, it's like that scene in Rocky I, right? You know, when Apollo thinks he's knocked down Rocky for the last time, and then Rocky gets up again, and he starts going, come here. And Apollo just kind of, his shoulders droop, his head drops. It's the buffet manager when I'm back for another round. Okay, coming up next, four down territory, straight ahead, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Are you ready for some football?
This is four down territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. First down.
It's just he's more capable of doing a lot of things that most aren't, which is why he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And players have to know, he's got the no-look passes. He's got the different arm angles. His feet doesn't have to be set all the time to make good throws. It's just unique to him, and that's why he's so good.
Big Fangio buttering up Patrick Mahomes, a time-honored tradition among coaches dating back to the days of Lou Holtz at Notre Dame. Always talk up the opponent, make them sound like they're... Remember they'd be playing Notre Dame, would be playing like, I don't know, Monmouth or something. Oh, they're going to be a handful. They're a good team, well coached, a lot of talent. We got to be careful. So he's buttering up Patrick Mahomes. Nick Ferguson in for Stink. Has Patrick Mahomes had a good year? Well, he's had a good year, but in what ways do you look at Patrick Mahomes and see a guy that is well below his usual standard?
Well,
do you?
Yeah, I mean, in comparison to years past, Mike, and that's due in part to the lack of explosive plays, because Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, they have spoiled the league so much so that everyone is trying to duplicate what they're doing. Give me one of those guys. I need to have one of those guys. So they're down as far as the number of explosive plays, but here's where the Kansas City Chiefs are where they were in the past couple of years, but we didn't know because of the explosive plays, but it's performance inside the red zone. They struggle inside the red zone because they lose a large amount of that field for the explosive plays, so they don't know how to operate and short spaces. You take away the explosive play, now you even the playing field, and the Broncos could definitely do that on Sunday.
Okay. Well, the numbers certainly for Mahomes are down, and offensively, the Chiefs have not been as consistently dominant on offense as we have become accustomed to seeing. I don't think the Broncos win on Sunday. I just think trying to cover up a gap of 11 years and an average score of 29-16 is not something that you just wipe away in one fell swoop on a trip to Arrowhead on a Sunday night. But I think it's going to be a competitive, closer game than people think, and I don't think it's going to be high scoring. I think this defense is going to not shut down, but going to contain Mahomes in this offense. I don't see this game getting away from them.
Nice use of the word contain. Well,
who would be stupid enough? Even I have said a lot of stupid things over the years. Did you get that one, Benny? Good. Even I'm not going to come out and say they're going to shut down Mahomes and the Chiefs. But I do think this defense is better off without Von Miller. And I think this defense will show well Sunday night.
You know what? It's interesting that you say that the defense is better without Von Miller. And I would have to agree only for this reason, because now you get a lot of young guys who ordinarily wouldn't have had a lot of time to play, who are now getting that opportunity, and they're making the most of it. So that part is true for that reason.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
I watched it firsthand, and I guess I don't know what the magic is. They're a very well-coached team. They got really good players. Maybe they just get a little rest and get ready to roll. Maybe that's the formula.
Well, what is the formula? Andy Reid's teams are 19-3 coming off a regular season bye, 7-3 in the playoffs. Add it up. Here we come, math. 26-6 coming off the bye. Do you have any explanation? You know what it's like to come off a bye, play a team coming off the bye. How do you explain this?
Well, the great way to explain it is going back to my days playing here with the Broncos. Mike Shanahan was always great about making those adjustments. We always talk about coaches making in-game adjustments, but it's about making those adjustments based off doing a little self-scouting. And what we also would do with not just self-scouting, but we would walk through every single play that was a bad play, whether it was a play called or executed play, just to show us where we could get better as a team. And the biggest thing is, Mike, making the necessary adjustments. Whatever you thought you were married to leading up to that point, you have to have the ability not to be a stubborn coordinator on either side of the ball. We need to change. And that would often means taking something from other teams that you've seen around the league or even college football and implementing in your game plan. So this is why Andy Reid has been so successful. The Broncos were successful after their bye. Maybe they can try to continue and try to stifle Kansas City on Sunday.
Mike Shanahan, by the way, 9-4 coming off a bye with the Broncos.
Well, it's not quite Andy Reid-esque, but, I mean, I would dare to say that relative to other teams, other coaches, that's kind of, you know, good success. Because you always wonder, coming off the bye, whether your team is going to still be hitting on all cylinders. That's something we have to consider, because before the bye, Kansas City had a win against the Dallas Cowboys. It wasn't great from a score standpoint, but will those guys take a back seat? You're playing against the Broncos. No one expects them to win. Do we really have to work as hard?
Speaking of the Cowboys, next in four down territory.
Third down.
Hill throws, it's intercepted at the 25. Down the left side, into the end zone. That is a touchdown. Carlos Watkins, a defensive tackle.
Cowboys radio. Cowboys got a much-needed win. Not that they looked that impressive. Saints defense is formidable, but, man, did they benefit from Taysom Hill getting the start at quarterback. Taysom Hill. Mark tells me over and over again, Sean Payton believes Taysom Hill can be a really good quarterback in this league. I just don't see it. Do you? You see any evidence that this guy can become a good quarterback in this league?
Yeah, I do, Sean. I mean, I'm calling you Sean, not Sean Payton. But I do, Mike.
Thank you, Cecil.
And here's the reason why. Because for me, I say the skill set that is required to play in today's NFL, it is actually there. The only thing that isn't for me at this point is time under center. I mean, he's been utilized as a gadget quarterback. He hasn't been able to be behind the center and really fine-tune the skill set needed to play that position. Just think about it. I mean, after Jameis went down, they went to Trevor Siemian. Mm-hmm. If this is a guy that you truly believe, stick him in there. Just like a rookie quarterback, let him take his lumps, let him learn how to play the position.
But you're still talking about the idea that he has to learn to play quarterback. He learns that he has to be able to operate from under center. He has to be able to become an efficient thrower, passer of the football. Guys who played a lot more quarterback than Taysom Hill has never figured that out. Tim Tebow never figured that out. Jalen Hurts is struggling to get to that level. Heck, Lamar Jackson still has to answer critics that say he's not a good enough passer of the football. These guys have been playing quarterback a lot longer than Taysom Hill is. He's going to figure this out just while playing in the NFL?
Well, yeah, but here's why it's a little different, because he's an untraditional quarterback. The game is all about having the untraditional quarterback. And last night, watching the Cowboys game, there were some design QB runs in there. Sometimes he just pulled it down when it wasn't there. And he showed that he has this arm talent to get the ball there, but it's like making the right decision. You only get that by having more playing time.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Yeah, Teddy's a heck of a football player. And he does a lot of things very well. Plus, he's mobile on top of all that. And he can still move. And he's a tough kid. So we have a ton of respect for Teddy.
All right, there's Andy Reid talking about Teddy Bridgewater. I want to get your thoughts on the other two AFC West teams. You got the Chargers, fresh off Charger and Gunna Charger, going to Cincinnati. Are we at a point yet that we can actually trust the Bengals? I feel like we have in the Bengals and Chargers two teams that are used to sitting at the kids' table, both desperately want to move up to the adult table. Who does it this week?
I think it's the Bengals.
I do too.
Because when you
do, we trust the Bengals? Are we trusting the Bengals?
I know that sounds crazy.
I know it is.
But yeah, they're running the ball well. They're playing decent defense. When you look at the weapons that they have, Uzama at the tight end position, Jamar Chase, they have Boyd, they have Higgins. They have all the recipes. Like if you were making a gumbo, all the ingredients.
I love gumbo.
See, yes. All the ingredients are there. But it starts with the roux. You got to have the nice roux.
Got to have the roux.
That's right. So right now.
No roux, no gumbo.
So Joe Burrow is the roux to the gumbo for the Cincinnati Bengals, and rightfully so. Oh. He played his college ball at LSU.
Ah! That might be the greatest single analogy I've ever heard on this morning show. The roux. You need the roux.
You need the roux.
Meanwhile, the Raiders, fresh off beating the Cowboys, get woofed at home. Do you have any idea what to expect from the Raiders this weekend?
No, because they're one of the more inconsistent teams. I know when most people talk about the Broncos, they say, well, the Broncos are inconsistent. The Raiders, you really don't know. I mean, and with Darren Waller having an injury, now you say, well, you've taken the safety blanket away from Derek Carr. And defensively, they have not done well. They get a lot of pressure, but the back end is their issue because they create pressure, but they give up big plays in the back end as well.
All right, that'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, I have an answer to a question that has been bugging Nick for about the last 24 hours. He'll ask the question. I'll give the answer next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. We'll get to loss number 10 of the 11 here in a minute. Also, Sean Drotar, who was co-hosting the Fan Avalanche postgame show last night after their win over the Canadiens, will join us in a bit as well. But you, Nick Ferguson, in for Stink on this Is It Just Me Friday, had a question for me.
Well, yeah. I noticed of all the fan hosts, there were only two people who picked the Chargers. Me and you. And I know why I chose the Chargers, but I just wanted to know, what was it about the Broncos and that matchup that made you decide, well, this is the game I'm going to choose the Broncos?
It's for the same reason that if I ever pick the Broncos to win coming down the stretch, I'll pick them. And it'll have very little to do with X's and O's and matchups and all that. I don't trust them. There's nothing about them that I can point to that would say I trust them to win and handle prosperity. And the games that I could see them winning, I'll probably pick them to win just because of the hard-to-figure, week-to-week nature of the NFL. I mean, doesn't that... I know that probably irritates you as a player who puts in all his work and preparation every week to go out and play. But, man, the randomness of the NFL on a week-to-week basis with results every single week that just have you scratching your head saying, where did that come from? Face it, that's how we all felt after the Dallas game. And if the Broncos, and now that the Broncos beat the Chargers, and I'm glad I was wrong, but doesn't that also have that feeling of, okay, they won, but what does it really mean? Was it just kind of the randomness of the NFL schedule that every week you see these results, and is it something we can really trust? Hey, man, I've been scarred by what's been going on around here the last 5-plus years. They have no credibility banked with me. So I don't know how they're going to react to a win. Do you? Do you honestly? Can you honestly sit here, and I'll throw this out to every Bronco fan listening. Do you trust that this team knows how to handle prosperity? Do you trust that this team knows how to build off of a win?
No, because we haven't seen it thus far. So I understand.
So there's a random. Yes. So even when they win, there's sort of this randomness to it, right?
Well, I'll say it's a little hesitation because you're waiting for something to happen, right? So we'll see what happens on Sunday. If they get the victory, it's going to change a lot of people's opinions about so many players and coaches on this team.
You win Sunday, and yeah, everything changes. I think everything changes. But you got to win. Something they haven't done in 11 straight games. Painfully, we are reminding you why and how they've lost 11 in a row. This is loss number 10.
October 25th, 2020. As the Broncos welcomed the Chiefs to Mile High, there was optimism the 9-game losing streak to Kansas City could end, coming off an upset win in New England. Unfortunately, that optimism subsided quickly as the Chiefs scored on offense.
First and 10, Edwards Helaire. He was always slippery and into the end zone for a touchdown. What a run!
Defense.
It's picked off on the play. It's Sorensen to the house. A pick six. Daniel Sorensen.
And special teams.
He finds a seam. He breaks a tackle. The kicker will be Brockett Pringle. Galloping free. He will go all the way. Unofficially 102 yards.
The Chiefs delivered their most dominant win at Mile High in 54 years. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead this Sunday.
All right, there you go. I think what has been educational about these vignettes that we've played, and I know some of you hate them. What's the text I just got? Every time you play one of these highlights from the losses, I want to puke. Why do I want to hear that? Well, I have found it educational in sort of dissecting kind of an autopsy of what's gone on with these 11 losses. And one thing that has stood out to me is how very few discernible patterns there have been in all these 11 losses. The only things that really stand out that you can point to that say, okay, this has been an ingredient in every single loss. They have killed themselves with mistakes. The turnover margin in these 11 games is minus 18. In only two of the 11 games have they won or tied the turnover battle. They won it once, tied it another time. 9 of the 11 times they lost the turnover battle. You want to talk about a short recipe to lose. And the other one is that they've had no answer for Travis Kelce. In 9 games that he's played in this series, the average Travis Kelce game is 7.5 catches for 100 yards and half a touchdown. They have no way to stop him. But other than that, Nick, and it's certainly been become even more evident to me listening to these vignette packages throughout the course of the week is how every game seems to tell a different story in explaining why they lost.
It's a different story, same kind of result. And it just seems like just kind of listening to you kind of set that up. It's like the doomsday scenario. It's like Travis Kelce. I mean, we cannot stop him. He's been a problem for us. And when I look at it, and I'm going to look at it from a defensive standpoint, the person that can hurt us the most is Tyreek Hill. That's the guy you want to take away.
He's been a touchdown, 8 touchdowns in the games that he's played in.
Right, and we're talking explosive plays, yep. Plays over 10 yards or more. I would be willing to live with a multitude of receptions and even a game with 100 yards from Travis Kelce because he's not going to outrun you. So there is a way that the Broncos can actually resolve this. One of those ways is PS2, and then there's still another way they can get it done.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on to that. I'm intrigued. That might be a question, Nick, that we'll get to here in just a couple of minutes. But in the meantime, pleased to be joined by one of the co-hosts of the Fan Avalanche postgame show last night, which aired immediately following the Avs' 4-1 win over Montreal, over Les Habitants. And that is Sean Drotar. Sean, I think the result last night was totally predictable, one you could have seen coming a mile away. I hope people took advantage of it, wink, wink, because you knew the Avalanche would bounce back after that humiliating 8-3 loss the night before.
You did, and I think that you maybe saw that hang on for one period, kind of a listless first period in which there was no score after the first, but then the game broke open with a shorthanded goal by Valeri Nichushkin, obviously a terrific kind of counterpunch there, set up by Logan O'Connor, who's been a revelation. The former DU Pioneer has been a better player in the NHL than he was at DU, and he played on a championship team there. So he's been better at the NHL level. So they find themselves up 2-1 after the second, and then, of course, all Avalanche the rest of the way. Burakovsky scores. Gabe Landeskog gets the empty netter at the end, and maybe most importantly, a good bounce-back game for Jonas Johansson, who, of course, had that nightmare performance that wasn't entirely his fault. He was hung out to dry on a lot of those goals against Toronto, but a better performance there, and the Avalanche needed to take care of business against a bad Montreal team, but that's what they do, and it means that 8-3 game starts to feel like just one of those on an 82-game schedule where you just get occasionally one of those games you just want to crumple up the score sheet and throw it away and forget about it.
So even though the Avs were able to beat up on, I guess, I don't want to say a weaker Montreal team.
Oh, no, you can say it. They're terrible.
But if you're a Jared Bednar, you still have to say something to your team to actually continue this momentum moving forward. And if you're Jared Bednar, well, what are you really saying to your team after a 4-1 victory like the Avs had last night?
He said it last night without actually saying it, Nick, and here's how. By putting Jonas Johansson back in net one night after that disaster, instead of benching him and trying to put Justus Annunen in for his NHL debut, which he could have done, and quite frankly, I thought he might have done, the statement that Bednar made to his team was the loss the night before was not simply on goaltending. Mm. Because if you were just going to bench the goaltender for one game, it basically sends the message to the team that it was the goaltending that cost us the game. By putting Johansson back in, he basically told the rest of the team, that was the whole team. That was all of you guys. And if I had to bench everybody who played last night, we wouldn't have anybody to play. So I'm throwing you all back in. And I think that was actually a statement in and of itself that we're not just going to find a scapegoat for that game, that we're going to have to look in the mirror and say we have to wear this as a team, and that means we have to go back out there tomorrow night and do better as a team. And that's the kind of thing that Bednar has to do through both actions and words over the course of this season to make sure that the Avalanche continues to perform up to the level in which they obviously can. And that level is the best team in the NHL.
I know, I got to get all the prerequisites out there. It's a long season, injuries can happen, blah, 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 blah. Okay, got that disclaimer done. Can we just give the Norris Trophy to Cale Makar right now?
you probably should. He's undoubtedly the best player in the game in that position. But missed some games early on. Obviously, there's some other players. Aaron Ekblad looks pretty good as well. There are some other players that will be in the mix. I do think McCarr is the favorite to get it. As you pointed out, though, he does have to stay healthy. He has had three different playing partners now with Devontae's back. You can expect his game to probably ignite. Had that goal last night. And, yeah, I mean, what he does is just so special, night in and night out. You know, he's basically an elite offensive player playing on the defensive side of the puck. It's remarkable to watch. And when you're talking about the Avs, when you have guys like Nathan MacKinnon, who, by the way, I know they lost the game before, but Nathan McKinnon's finally back after missing eight games. In two games, all he has is 3 points. There is so much talent. It is really impressive. But McCarr is sort of a different animal. This is a guy that not a lot of teams see players like this in generations.
He's on pace to score 41 goals this season. I know he can't. Well, maybe he can keep that up. I wouldn't put it past him. Sean, thank you very much.
You bet. Have a good one, guys.
All right, Sean Drotar, along with Sandy Clough. They host the Nugget and Avalanche postgame shows during the week. We also have the postgame shows during the weekend. Part of our commitment to bringing the most Nuggets and Avalanche content on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.